Good morning. Happy Thursday. Good to see you all again. Once again this morning, as usual on Thursdays, we have one of our AFCO students who's going to share a message with us. Johnny Wilkening has been with us now for about 3 months, and it looks like we got about one more month to go unless he fails out or something like that. But I don't think that's going to be the case. So Johnny, come on up.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Again, my name is Johnny. I am a student at Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism, and I am very blessed. It is my honor to be here. I'm glad. I'm thankful for the invitation to come and share with you guys a little devotion this morning. And we're going to be talking this morning about the love of Jesus. Is that all right? Amen. All right, amen. So without further ado, why don't you please bow your heads with me? Word of prayer. Dear loving Father, we are so thankful for another day of life. And Lord, we're so thankful for the love that you have for us as your children and for taking care of us and for blessing us abundantly. And Lord, we don't want to take you for granted or even the blessings you bestow upon us, Lord. So we just ask that you please help us, strengthen us in our walk with you and keep our eyes focused upon you in everything we do. Lord, please reveal yourself today in this message. We plead these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to open up today with a question of a verse. What is the most quoted scripture in the Bible? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So powerful, right? But me growing up in a Christian home, Adventist home, I have said this scripture over and over and over, almost to the point where I kind of lost sight of the depth or even lost sight of the power of this verse. And I don't know if many of you guys may experience the same thing of what I'm talking about, but today we're going to look in this and dig deep in the depth of God's love, because he indeed loved us so much that he gave us his son. And so, we're going to open up here with in the book of Matthew. Do you guys have your Bibles this morning? Book of Matthew, we're going to go to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to start off with verse 15. And this is, we already know what's all going on here. This is, to set the stage, this is when Pilate, when all the Jewish leaders bring Jesus to Pilate, and they're like, man, you got to do something with this guy, la la la. And he's just like, he didn't want to do it on his own, because if he released Jesus, he knew that he would lose face, maybe even lose his position. So he is left with this decision. How do I release Jesus? Because he knew he was innocent, but he didn't want to have to be punished himself for releasing Jesus. So this is the stage now at verse 15, chapter 27. Now at the feast of the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitudes one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called who? Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they all cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And the people answered and said, his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. All right. This message right here is so powerful. And we wake up every single day. We are caught up in this spiritual warfare. We are torn between good and evil. Constantly. Was Jesus caught up in the spiritual warfare? Absolutely. But this, we're going to be breaking down not only was he caught up in spiritual warfare, but he was caught up in this psychological warfare. And you'll see how twisted it is. And the first time I heard this message, it blew my mind and it melted my heart to see that Jesus was willing to go through all this for us. So watch this. We have Pilate. And he has to make a decision. He doesn't want to let Jesus out on his own. So he decides, you know, I'll let the people decide. So he brings out these two men. And he brings out, on one side he has Barabbas. And on the other side he has Jesus. And the people have to choose which one they want to be released. And to break down this name Barabbas, it's Bar, Abbas. Bar meaning son of, Abba, the father. So one side they have the son of the father, and on the other side they have the son of the father. You see the psychological twist that is happening. Desire of Ages, page 733. The Roman authorities at this time held a prisoner named Barabbas, who was under the sentence of death. This man had claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed authority to establish a different order of things, to set the world right. So this Barabbas, this son of the father, is facing the death sentence. And he claimed to be the Messiah. Jesus, on this side, the son of the father, is about to face a death sentence because he claimed to be who? The Messiah. Interesting. Interesting. And who did the people end up choosing? Desire of Ages, page 739. The people of Israel had made their choice. Pointing to Jesus, they had said, not this man, but Barabbas. Barabbas, the robber, the murderer, was the representative of Satan. Christ was the representative of God. Christ had been rejected. Barabbas had been chosen. Barabbas they were to have. In making this decision, in making this choice, they had accepted him, whom from the beginning was a liar and a murderer. Satan was their leader. It's almost as if Satan has flipped the script. And he's over here saying, aha, Jesus, look now. They choose me. I am the leader. You're on my turf now. You are the guilty one. Twisted. Twisted psychological warfare. And Jesus is going through this whole thing. He could have just had a flash of divinity and ended it all. But he knew he had to press forward for us. And he didn't even say a word. Because of love, he didn't say a word. And he was humiliated. That's humiliation, brothers and sisters. To be innocent and called guilty. We're going to go to John, book of John, chapter 19. John chapter 19, starting with verse 12. It says here, from then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. So Pilate is being threatened with his position. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered and said, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. All right, so we have here, this is where and when Jesus receives his death sentence. He is led out to this place called the pavement, in Hebrew called Gabbatha, in front of a judgment seat. Okay, and Gabbatha, it is an exalted place. And the pavement, it meant the stone floor, or the pavement floor, okay? So we have Jesus is led to the stone floor in an exalted place in front of a judgment seat where he receives his death sentence, all right? Now watch this. There's a story of an angel in the book of Ezekiel in heaven. Ezekiel chapter 28:14. Ezekiel chapter 28, starting with verse 14. And this angel, Lucifer, we're talking about, you were the anointed cherub who covers, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. What's a holy mountain? It's an exalted place. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the stones of fire. Some translation says the stone floor or the pavement floor. Lucifer is led out here on this pavement and an exalted place where he receives his death sentence. In verse 16, halfway in verse 16, that he receives a sentence, therefore I cast you as profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub. Lucifer receives his death sentence here on this pavement in front of on an exalted place in front of a judgment seat. And now it's Jesus in on that pavement, in front of the judgment seat, in that exalted place where he receives his death sentence. You see this, brothers and sisters. It's almost as if Satan has completely flipped the script. Watch this. This is very powerful. Desire of Ages, page 119. When Satan and the Son of God first met in conflict, Christ was the commander of the heavenly host, and Satan, the leader of revolt in heaven, was cast out. Now their condition is apparently reversed, and Satan makes the most of his supposed advantage. One of the most powerful of the angels, he says, has been banished from heaven. The appearance of Jesus indicates that he is that fallen angel, forsaken by God and deserted by man. This psychological warfare that we tend to overlook, we always just look at the spiritual warfare that's going on. But Jesus was absolutely humiliated. And he went through it. The innocent lamb was, everybody points to him, crucify that one. He's the guilty one. And Lucifer all the while is sitting there, remember Jesus? It's my turn now. It's my turn now. I am their leader. They choose me. And Jesus doesn't even say a word. He goes through with it. He endures to the very end. Now, Mark chapter 15, Jesus is now on the cross. Oh, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 15. And we're going to go verse 33, starting with verse 33. All right. And Jesus is on the cross here saying, now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that say, look, he's calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come and take him down. Verse 37, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last breath. So, Jesus is hanging on a cross. And he says here, and at the ninth hour, he says here, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you disconnected yourself from me? What has disconnected Jesus from his Father? Our sins. It was our sins that is separating Jesus from his Father. Now, if you had a son or a daughter or a friend or something and they passed away, you'd be devastated. Absolutely. But what if you knew for sure that he was going to come back? This person was going to come back in 3 days. How devastating would it be? I mean, yeah, it would be, man, I can't believe my friend died, my son died. But if you knew he was coming back in 3 days, would it make a difference on how you thought about it? So, what is the big deal then? If the father and the son knew that he was going to come back in 3 days, why was it so devastating? Watch this. The moment we have here, my God, why have you forsaken me? Our sins had disconnected Jesus from his Father. And then watch this. Someone goes, quickly runs, and then grabs something, and then puts it up on the thing, and by then, Jesus cries out and breathes his last breath. The separation from the Father, our sins that separated the Son and the Father, right after that happened, Jesus, my God, why have you disconnected yourself from me? Boom. Moments go by, just moments, and it was enough to kill Jesus. It was the separation from Father and Son, you see, that separated, that pulled the life away from Jesus. And it was our sins that separated. So let me ask you, how long has the Trinity been together? Eternity. From all of eternity past to all eternity future, if there's such a thing, the Trinity has always been connected. But at this very moment, because of our sins, it's as if the Trinity was broken. At this ninth hour, the only time in world, the universe history, this had ever happened and ever will happen. But the Trinity broke. And that separation was enough to kill the Son of God. And that was because of us. And what did Jesus do? He didn't say anything. The only thing he said is, forgive them. That's love, brothers and sisters. For God so loved the world, he gave so much. He was willing to break an eternal Trinity. He was willing to give his Son to be humiliated. Jesus was willing to endure to the very end. Now, brothers and sisters, I know that we are living in this world's final hours. Do you believe that? And Jesus, he endured to the very end. And he is calling us to do the same. We don't have time to, we can't be wasting time on silly things in this world, on issues between brothers and sisters, on television, or whatever. We all have our distractions. We all have our problems. But now is not the time, brothers and sisters. We got to get this work done. We got to endure to the end. We got to keep our mouths closed like Jesus did and go through with it. He did it because he loved us. Are you willing to do it because you love him? Brothers and sisters, now is the time. We got to endure, brothers and sisters. Amen. 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 Pray with me. Loving Father, we're so thankful for what you gave us. And Lord, we are not worthy, Lord. Who are we? But Father, you have called us to step up, each and every single one of us here, Lord. Father, we need to set aside our issues in our lives, Father, and just come to you, so full surrender. But Lord, we can't even do that on our own. So we ask that you please rain your Spirit upon our hearts today and abundantly. May we stay focused upon you and everything we say and everything we do. May just lift you up and glorify your name, because you gave so much for us and to us. Lord, we want to give ourselves to you today. We praise you for being our God and our Creator and our Savior, and for the sacrifice that you did for us that we may live. May this message saturate in our hearts today. We plead these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.